We're going to go to Numbers chapter 13 today. And there's two phrases we have used probably most of our lives. And it's the phrase, I can, and the phrase, I can't. And so, you know, we have a scripture that says that God does not give us more than what we can handle. How many believe that? How many have felt that that might not have been true at the time you're going through something, right? You said, that's enough, all right? But that is the promise, right? So if you're going through something in your life, and it's a very difficult place that you're going through, guess what? God thinks you can handle it. Amen. So you can make it through. Amen. God's faithful, and he will see you through. All right, so today we're going to talk about Joshua and Caleb a little bit here today. How many know those two individuals? They were two of the 12 spies that went into the land, and they said, we can. So today, I'm going to encourage you to have an attitude of we can. As a church here today, I'm not looking at so much as individuals, but I'm looking at it as a church here today, that we can. You agree with me? Amen. I believe God has a plan for our church. He has a vision for our church. And I believe that he has given us everything that we need to fulfill that vision. And so in September, we will be sharing an outline of what that vision actually looks like. Of course, we have our dream statements on the wall that have become just part of the decoration and no one reads anymore. But we are going to remind you of what those dream statements are, and that they are going to be a very active part of who we are as a church. So Numbers chapter 13, we're going to begin with verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, and so I want you to understand that God initiated this promise of the promised land, of the land of Canaan. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. And so I want you to see that there was a plan. God initiated it, but Moses had a part. He was the one who picked these individuals. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. How many know it's important to have the right leaders in the right positions? Amen? And so we're going to find out here that these weren't the right leaders. Even though God told him to select the right leaders, of course, we're going to find out the 10 of them weren't so hot. And so it's important as a church that we hopefully you have the right pastor. Hopefully we have the right board and those that are our teachers and those that are leaders within this body. So far, so good. And we're appreciative of our leaders that we have. But we need to guard against not having the wrong leaders. So Numbers 13, we're going to jump to verse 25. This is after the 12 spies have been sent out, they've gone through the land, and now they're returning with a report. Verse 25, at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There, they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But, there we go. But, the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and possess the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men, the 10 leaders, other than Joshua and Caleb, who had gone up with them, said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are, and they're spread out among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. And in Numbers 14:10, we see those who gave the good report came under attack. It said, but the whole assembly talked about stoning them, Caleb and Joshua. But then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting to all the Israelites. Father, we come into the house today. We just come to receive, Father. We've come to receive an encouraging word here today that we are people that can. We are not people that cannot do what you've called us to do. But Lord, you have anointed us. You have given us your word. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us your presence, Lord. Everything that we need, Lord, has been given to us to fulfill the call that you've placed upon our lives. And so, Father, I ask that as we go through this today, that you will just kind of stimulate something in our heart once again, that you will light a fire within our hearts, Lord, that we are on a mission and that we, as the church, are here to help you fulfill the mission that you've called Jesus Christ to fulfill. And so, Lord, we just commit this time to you. And everybody said, amen. So today we have a choice being part of one or two camps here today. We can choose to be a church that is in the majority or the minority. How many know that most of the churches today are going the wrong direction? I hate to say it, we are in the minority. And I pray to God that the Assemblies of God remain in the minority as many of the other churches going a separate direction. We want to be the people that walk by faith and are not faithless. We want to be the group that is part of the cans and not the can'ts. And so we want to be part of that Caleb and Joshua generation. We want to be part of that group, not the other way around. In 2 Timothy 3:5, the Bible says that in the last days, there is going to be a form of godliness, but there is going to be a denying of the power of God. And how many know that many churches are denying the very power of God, the very presence of God? And so one of our desires as a church is to experience the presence of God. And when we experience the presence of God, we are going to what? We are going to experience the power of God. And so we cannot separate one from the other. We cannot separate our theology from the presence of God. And when we do, it's going to cause death. And so we want to be spirit-filled people that are walking according to the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, 6, it clearly states where we need to stand here this morning, to which camp we are to live in. Verse 6 says, and without faith it is what? Impossible. It is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must what? Believe that he exists and he does what? He rewards us, right? Those who, this is the important part, earnestly seek him. Hallelujah. How many times have we pursued the blessings of God rather than the one who blesses? And so we cannot separate one for the other. If we're going to please God, we not only have to, what, stand on his word, believe his word, walk in the spirit, but we also need to have a relationship with him. And so we cannot separate one from the other here today. So as we're talking here this morning, we're talking about two camps. We can camp. Hopefully that's where we want to be here this morning because we live in Jesus Christ and we can do all things through him. Amen? So this is God's mindset, the promise that he gave the Israelites, the promised land. It was his promise. It was God's command. So as we look at this, we see the Canaan land. It was the promised land. And so we need to understand here this morning, even in our old hymns, we talked about singing about heading into Canaan land. And Canaan land, I hate to tell you, is not heaven. Because in Canaan land, they had enemies. There was fortified cities. There was giants. There was enemies. And how many know we live in a world today where we have some enemies? And so this morning, we need to realize that we are living, if you are today born again and you have the Spirit of God in you, guess what? We are living in Canaan land. And the promises of God are real for us here today. Heaven is a different, it's a different place, folks. And I hope when we get to heaven, it's not going to be like Canaan land. Amen? Hallelujah. There's no more pain. There's no more tears. Amen? There's no more sickness. Hallelujah. That's where we want to be. But a promise here is, it's a country of milk and honey. That doesn't mean much today. But to us, it means the good life. That's what it meant to them back then. It's the good life. How many know that when we walk with Jesus Christ, we can experience a good life? Not just life, but abundant life, right? We can experience fruitfulness. We're living in a fertile land. We're living in a time, in a place where we can participate in the harvest. We can experience God's provision, and we can experience God's presence. I like Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. God said, I want you to take the land, and this is what I'm going to do for you. When the Lord your God brings you into the land, he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with a large, flourishing cities you did not build. And those large, flourishing cities is what they feared. Hallelujah. They feared the very blessings of God. Can you imagine that? How many people are fearful today? All right? Not stepping out. God has something incredible for us. Some wonderful things. He said, I'm going to provide these cities, these flourishing cities that you did not build. Houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide. Wells you did not dig. In vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget. Again, we get back to that relationship, right? When we're blessed, there's a tendency to forget the one who blessed us. We get our eyes on the blessing rather than the one who blesses us. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Hallelujah. Do we want to belong to the We Can camp? We do, right? That's where we want to be. Then there's the We Can't camp. And they see all the obstacles in life. They see all the problems in life as something bigger than that of Christ. When we get to that place, guess what, folks? We are in big trouble. So we see here the 10 spies, they had man's mindset. What did they see? They saw the powerful people. They saw the giants. They saw the large fortified cities. They said that the land devours its inhabitants. How many know our land today is devouring its inhabitants? And they said, we are grasshoppers in our own eyes, therefore we're grasshoppers in theirs. And so I gave you a neat little diagram there. Can you imagine? Think about it. Isn't that ridiculous looking at that picture? But this is what they felt like. I don't know about you, but sometimes we go into our circumstance, facing our circumstances, facing our problems as grasshoppers because we see it in our own eyes. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. How many know that Paul had some problems? All right? And they weren't all man-made. They weren't all his problems. They came at him. He said, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. I mean, no, Paul couldn't do everything. Amen? Paul even complained that he couldn't even speak very good. Hallelujah. So that gives me comfort. Amen. Hallelujah. It goes on, it says, therefore I will boast about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Isn't that the good news here today? That we can't do it within ourselves. So we need to get rid of the man's mindset and begin to have God's mindset. That's why we need to know the Word of God. You want to know what's on God's mind? Read the Bible. Amen. That is God's plan. That is God's will for our lives. So when we begin to think of ourselves as grasshoppers, it is a sign that we have lost sight of God. When our problems and situations become bigger than God, then we've got some issues here today. So James comes along and he says that we are to be people of faith. He says in chapter 1, verse 6, and I want you to think about, as we look at this verse here today, I want you to look at that when it's talking about a person and it's talking about an individual here. Let's put the word church in. Can we do that here this morning? I don't think it'll be a disservice because how many know what the church is made up of? People, you and me, all right? And so I think it's safe we can say that here this morning. He says here, you must believe and not doubt because the one or the church who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person, the church, should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person or church is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Folks, we are called to be a people of faith here today. Paul writing to Timothy, how many know Timothy had some issues? And he was a young man. He was, I don't know, working with Paul would kind of probably be intimidating. Amen? We know what he did with John Mark, right? If you don't measure up, get out of town, right? I don't want you around. And so I imagine living under Paul's ministry is kind of stressful at times. And Paul had a high standard of who he wanted to work with him. So Paul reminds Timothy about his giants. And he says, I don't want you to be intimidated. He said in 2 Timothy 1:7, and you know this, for God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and love and a sound mind or self-control. However, whatever version you have here. So Paul's saying to Timothy, you have some giants in your life. These are some things you're going to have to work through. These are some things you're going to have to face. But the Spirit of God will help you. You need to make a choice to allow him to let you become an overcomer. In 2 Timothy chapter 4:12, he said, let no man despise thy youth. Hallelujah. How many know that Generation Z and all these other generations that we as an older generation begin to look down on? Yes? Do we not judge them? Right? They're lazy. They don't want to work. We can go down the list of things that we have said about that generation. But Paul comes along and says, hey, you're of a younger generation. He said, do not allow anyone to despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit. And we're talking about faith here today, in faith, in purity. And so he's encouraging Timothy here today that he can. He can overcome. He can do the ministry in which he's called. He said, I laid hands on you and you need to walk in it. You need to stir the fire, those embers up that are in you, into a flaming fire. So over and over, Paul encourages this young man to step up and face his giants. And so as we look at this, I just want you to think about this, because as I was doing this, this thought came to me this morning. Not this morning, but when I was studying. Intimidation and shame have to do with despising who we are and what we believe. And I want to explain that here a little bit. Intimidation and shame have to do despising who we were and what we believe. How many know we are called to be bold? How many know we're called to witness? In Revelation 21:8 is one of the words, one of the scriptures that we learned in personal evangelism, is that if we're going to have a spirit of fear, guess what's going to happen? We don't make it. That's some strong words. In fact, the word there is cowardice. How many know that God doesn't want cowardly Christians? He said, I have given you the Holy Spirit that you may be my witnesses. And so I haven't perfected this in my own life, but it is something I've been praying about. Lord, I want that boldness. Some of you in here are very bold at your witness. You can go anywhere, talk to anybody, and just let her rip. Amen? But some of us aren't built like that. And so my prayer is, Lord, make me like some of you. Amen? I want that boldness. I want that boldness to be able to go anywhere, anytime, and just begin to share the good news about Jesus Christ. The truth is, most of us, when we get into a crowd, we like to blend in. There are those in this body, I know they stick out like a sore thumb. Amen. You can't help but know they're in the room because you hear them before you see them. Amen. One of them's not here, so I can talk about him. Amen. Behind his back. Amen. Joe, listen to the message. Amen. Hallelujah. But most of us, when something's going around us, how many step up and speak for what is right, for what is true, for what is pure? Amen? So it is something that some of us need to incorporate. And we need to say, yes, I may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, I may speak in tongues. But Lord, you said I would be your witness. And so we need to get to the place where, Lord, help me be that witness. Help me have that boldness to go forth and to speak forth for you. So intimidation and shame, it's almost like despising what God has called us to do and be. It's like we turn our back, we're ashamed of it. Paul said this, and he said this even happens within the church. And he said you need to be very careful. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul stated there should be no despising within the body of Christ. Paul distinctively declared there were two paths of despising. That, how many know that you could feel intimidated in the church? How many know that whatever God's called you, sometimes we could feel shame at what we're doing. And we feel it's not as important as something else. And Paul wrote in verse 21, he said, and this is one that it comes to our mind first. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And that's very prideful, isn't it? To say that we don't need one another, that we don't need all the gifts and callings that God has provided for the church. Some are menial. Maybe some seem more spiritual. But we need to be careful of our attitude. Especially when we're on the platform, especially when we're standing in front and being the leader, that we need to kind of check some things. Pull our egos in. What's to say those parts of the body which are hidden, that are clothed, right, are just as important. And I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be some people that were surprised that are going to be exalted over those that have already received the pat on the back in this world. That God's going to say, hey, you've been faithful. You've been faithful. And I hope it happens. I hope those who feel like they've worked behind the scenes or they're in the ministry of helps, that, hey, payday's coming. Payday's coming. Your reward is coming. The Bible says he's coming, what? With his reward in his hand. Hallelujah. Amen. He's coming back to reward his people. But there's another scripture. So Paul began this analogy here, starting actually in verse 15 and 16. We're going to look at that here today, that sometimes it's not parts despising other parts, but sometimes we despise ourselves for the part that God has given us. And that we need to get over that a little bit. Sometimes we think what we're doing is insignificant compared to something else. It says there in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Folks, some of us need to be healed. Some of us need to just let go and realize that whatever God's called you to be in the body of Christ, it's important. How many have ever stumped their big toe? It is painful, isn't it? How many ever hurt a finger on their hand? You don't realize, right, how much you use parts of your body that seem insignificant, that you don't even take for granted. You take for granted on a daily basis. So don't think your part in the body of Christ is insignificant. Do not despise the call that God has placed on your life. So the 10 spies took their eyes off of God and their faith evaporated. They saw themselves less than what they were. They were God's called people. How many know sometimes, as we even look at this story here, God was able to deliver them from Egypt, but he wasn't able to take Egypt out of them. I don't know if that makes sense to you. But he had to kill a whole generation and take a generation into the promised land 40 years later after he wiped out those who came out of Egypt. Except what? Two families, Joshua's and Caleb's. He couldn't get Egypt out of them. And that mindset was so ingrained in them, they just They couldn't move beyond that. And folks, we need to move beyond that. Hallelujah. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. You know, by his stripes we are healed. We use that all the time about physical healing. But how many know it's talking also about spiritual healing? We need that spiritual healing. God's people need to be healed of those past mindsets, those things that they've experienced that are so ingrained in them they just can't let go. We need it. By his stripes we were healed. Folks, some of you need to claim that here today. The 10 spies, they saw everything that Joshua and Caleb saw, but they just couldn't get past it. Joshua and Caleb, they never wavered. They were those individuals that said, we can. Caleb was bold and said, we can do it. They're nothing. They're nobodies. God has already provided. We can do it. And folks, we need to have that mindset here today. 2 spies were inspired and 10 spies were intimidated. And so we need to be careful, folks, that as believers in Jesus Christ, in today's world, that we're not intimidated. You need to be inspired that we are on the right side. We are on the side of truth. We are on God's side. That's inspiring. But the truth is, when we go out in the world, we are intimidated. We're quiet. Eleanor Roosevelt said this. She said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. You give people permission. You know, there's always going to be naysayers in your life. There's always going to be people in your life. A lot of times, they're even in our own families that say you can't do that. I had a friend, and we were over his house, and I don't even know why the conversation came up, and we were there to pick him up and go out and to the youth group. And his dad said to me, you'll never make it in the ministry. And I thought it was like, what? You know, because I was in Bible college, and he didn't know me really that well. But it was just a remark. I went out, and the girl I was with, I was hot. I was mad. And, you know, I was just kind of venting, and she said, it's okay. But it was just a naysayer in my life. Just, you know how the devil plants seeds in our life. And sometimes we allow people to plant those seeds in our life. The year that Karen and I got married, I moved to New Mexico. I was there, and sorry, Joy, but I experienced a thing that they didn't think I was involved in the church for that summer in between college. They didn't think I was doing enough, and her dad and the pastor both pretty much said, "You are not called to the ministry." And it was like, whoa, you know, I'm glad I married the woman I did. I am glad I had the parents I did, because my parents encouraged me over and over and over again and reminded that they were proud of me for what I was becoming and who I was. My wife's the same way. And so, you know, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. You know, some of those things basically justified my intent that I'm just going to prove them wrong. You know, what the devil meant for evil, right? God turned it around for good because I made a determination in my heart. And you know, too, there are people in your life, if you begin to think that people said you can't, or you shouldn't, right? But on the other hand, there are always those that God places in your life that said you can. You can do it, you know? And so I just want to encourage you here today, you can, we can, together. So over the years, you know, how many of us allowed or permitted people who we know the right to make us feel less than what God says we are? Folks, some of you are maybe stuck here this morning because of maybe a parent or a sibling or a friend, you know, has planted some stuff in your life. Folks, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. It's time to let go It's time to let God heal you. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I think it's important for us as believers. It says, "For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." So think about it today. If you're hanging on and you become a victim of what people have said about you, that is a stronghold in your life. It says, "We demolish arguments in every pretension or contradiction," let's say that word, "that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So folks, there are some things that we need to grab hold of in our life and just say, that's not what God says. Some of us need to be healed. I propose we adopt a "we can" attitude. We can. And I just want to close with one scripture here out of Daniel chapter 11. You need to understand that Daniel in that chapter is having visions. He is seeing future governments. He is seeing world powers. He is seeing people that are going to be in leadership. And he says this in that verse 32, the second part, he says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." People that do know, again, there is that relationship. How many of us are taking scripture and not spending time with God, trying to apply it without having a relationship with the source? There are a lot of discouraged Christians running around because they're out of relationship, but, oh, this is a promise of God, so it must be true. Yeah, it is true, but it may not be true in your life until you connect to the source, to the power of God. In chapter 11 of Daniel, he is prophesying about the future world events and world leaders. Daniel never wavered or compromised. He is one of my heroes of the faith. Joshua and Daniel are some of the two favorite people in the Bible of individuals that God used in incredible ways. And Daniel is really an amazing individual. What he faced, he never wavered, he never compromised. Daniel never was intimidated or ashamed. Amen. He was a very bold individual. Daniel was promoted at least three times in the kingdom of Babylon. Hallelujah. It's because Daniel knew his God. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was a man of the scriptures. Daniel was engaged with God's plan and timetable. Daniel lived with an attitude of "we can." We can. He faced death and he overcame. We can. We can. Church, we can. You can. So the question we need to end this service out today is, where do you live? Which camp are you going to abide in? Are you going to abide in the "we can" camp or "we can't"? And before we get too bold and said, "Oh, I'm a person of we can," next week you may be saying, "I can." how many know what I'm saying? Amen? But it begins with that. Through God, we can do all things. Hallelujah. The future of our church depends on where we choose to live. Are we going to be a church we can or we can't? As I've been saying, our vision's small. I think God has something incredible. And I think in these last days, if you believe we're in the last days, God needs some people to do some big things. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. Jesus said, standing before Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so we can get involved with the politics of our land here today, but folks, we belong to another kingdom. And we need to get our eyes on our king, our president, our leader. Amen? because he has something incredible for us here today. We belong to his kingdom. Amen. And in his kingdom, he is looking for people that said, we can. We can. We can do what God wants us to do. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. It's cause and effect. If we know him, then he says, you will be able to do these things. And I love what Jesus said. The gates of hell will not prevail against what? The church. Folks, it's time to kick in some gates, right? It's time to do the work of the kingdom. So if you'll come, let's just prepare our hearts here today. We do want to go to prayer. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe something I said along the way here today kind of connected with you here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and there's some things that you're a slave to. Some mindsets that have been ingrained in you that need to be broken. Maybe you're here this morning, you just need some prayer and say, hey, I need to let go of this. I'm a captive to it. I am a slave to it. It is ruling me. It is guiding me. It's controlling me. I just want to encourage you today. It's time to let go. We have people that can pray with you here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you need a physical touch. Maybe you're going through something totally different. Maybe not even what we spoke on here this morning. But I just want to encourage you this morning that these altars are here for you to meet with God and for others to come. The Bible says we're two or three, right? Agree on anything. Maybe this morning that maybe you're struggling, you can't break through. Maybe you need two or three others to come along. So we're going to open it up here this morning. I don't want you to think this morning. I just want you to move. Maybe you need something broken. Maybe you need some deliverance today. Maybe you need a healing today. Whatever it is here today, I'm encouraging you to take a step of faith. We do have people that will come and pray with you here this morning. Don't think about it. Just move here this morning. The presence of the Lord is in this house today. You have heard the word of God, that we serve a God that can do anything. All things are possible through God. Hallelujah. Just encourage you right now, move out of your seat this morning. Let us pray with you this morning. Let us encourage you this morning. Hallelujah. If we can, please have some people come and pray, or prayer people, please come. Sometimes we come to church and we leave the same way we came. How about have a change this morning? Let's walk out different than what we came in. Maybe you came carrying something in this morning. How about if you let it here and walk out free? Hallelujah. Praise your name.